Alright, so today, when I was thinking about what to preach on this week, I went back and forth and back and forth on some different lessons I was working on. And as I was looking through a Bible study binder that I have, I went all the way back to my very first sermon. This is my very first sermon that I ever preached. Now, I'm obviously kind of young, and I'm even younger as a Christian, but so this is actually not going way back in the books. It's like 2012, my first sermon. But, we're going to talk about sheep, obviously, but I want to share a small story with you about my childhood. When I was born, my grandfather, who passed away shortly after I was born, my grandfather went to the gift store and to the hospital, and he grabbed a stuffed animal. And he threw that stuffed animal into my incubator, and it was a little, like, stuffed tiger. And he threw it into my incubator, and because my dad and I have the same name, everybody thought it would be a great idea to call me Tiger. So growing up, as a matter of fact, to this day, my parents, my sister, that is my name to all of my family. They all call me Tiger. And growing up, I thought that was cool, you know? When I was a little kid, yeah, tigers are cool. You know, so playing football, I used to strike my face like a tiger. And when I was 18, I was dumb enough to get a tattoo of a tiger on my shoulder. So that was a cool thing for me. I didn't realize it wasn't so cool until I really became an adult. And I really wanted to get out of being called Tiger. But I wanted to share that with you because it got me to thinking that if you could identify yourself as an animal, you know, what would you pick? Would you pick, you know, well, I'm like big and strong, I'd rather be a bear. I'd like to be a lion. Lions are cool. Tigers are cool. Maybe even be like a dinosaur type animal. What would you be if you had to pick? And then at the end of the day, how many people would pick to be a sheep? Right? I mean, there's a picture of a sheep. Is that the animal that you'd be like, yeah, I want to be that right there. So, as I first became a Christian, when I very first became a Christian, I come across this reference of sheep. And the reference was Jesus talking, says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I was like, man, Jesus is calling us sheep. Why? So I started studying a little deeper and I come to find out that the word sheep is mentioned 200 times in the New King James. The word flock, mentioned a flock of sheep, is 198 times. The next closest animal is only 94 times and it's oxen. That is a whole lot of times that sheep is used in the Bible. From Old Testament to New, if you add up flock and sheep, it's 398 times that God used the word sheep, referenced us as sheep, talked about flock of sheep. And, just a little note, sheep were the first domesticated animal in the Bible. It said that Abel, in Genesis 4, had flocks of sheep. So, why are sheep so important? We're going to talk about several reasons why God used sheep and how it relates to us as Christians. But it's kind of gross, but it's also a realistic fact. Sheep are required to have their genitals or private area washed by the shepherd or they'll get infected and die. A lot of people didn't know that. That's a true statement. In Acts 22:16, Paul tells the people, why are you waiting? Arise and wash away your sins. What happens if we are not washed? What happens if we are not cleansed? Is not the penalty also death? So right there, point number one, there's a way that we are like sheep. If we are not cleansed, if we are not washed, the penalty is death. Here's another point. A single sheep cannot survive on its own, right? A single sheep, if left out, be eaten, killed, whatever, even if it gets lost, I mean, it's toast. A sheep, A, needs a shepherd, and it needs a flock. A Christian is not meant to survive on its own. The passage we read, towards the end of that passage that Brother Tom read, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. We, not I. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as in the habit of some are doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Christians are not meant to survive on their own. What Satan wants to do more than anything else is tear you away from the church. He wants to tell you that, you know, as Brother Brad kind of talked about earlier, Satan really wants some division in the church. He wants you to come to church, and he wants you to get mad at another church brother or sister. He wants you to get mad at Tony, who's up here preaching about this lesson, and you didn't like it. And he wants you to hate it. And he wants you to tell yourself not to come back. He wants you to tell you, don't meet with each other. Go home. Stay home. Stay away from any other Christian that you can find. That's what Satan wants to tell you. Because he knows that the minute you get around another Christian and you get encouraged and exhorted and built up, that you're going to be stronger. He knows that if you realize that you're not alone and that there are people who care about you, and that you realize that there's an active God who's always moving and is actively seeking you, then he knows that's a losing battle for him. So he wants to isolate you. He wants you to be like that sheep all by itself. But sheep cannot survive on their own, and neither can a Christian. If you cut yourself off and isolate yourself from the church, it's the quickest way to die in your faith. It'll get killed. It'll get squashed and buried. We need one another. And there's the passage that kind of we read earlier. And sheep need to follow a leader. Now, in the passage I started off with this morning, it says in John 10:14, it says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So there's the other big point about being a sheep, is knowing who your shepherd is. Who is it that you're following? Who is it that you model your decisions after? Who is it that you seek out first when you are in trouble? When you're lost, who are you listening for? I'll share another story, and this is not about my awesome parenting skills. I'm a firm believer that if you have multiple children, i.e. more than two, I'll say, usually by the time you hit the third and the fourth one, I'm just speaking for myself, I think your parenting skills, maybe you're less like panicky. You don't keep such a good eye on them as maybe you probably should. At least that's for me, okay? Kid number one came along, and we were like, where is she? Okay, she's right here behind me. All right. You know, you don't lose that kid a whole bunch. Kid number two, they might get lost in the grocery store once. Kid number three, you'll give them to anybody who'll take them. Hey, you want... Can little Johnny come over? I know he's just a toddler, but do you mind if he comes over? I don't mind at all. Here you go. And God forbid if you're like me, kid number four. I don't even know where that kid is half the time. My wife and I call ourselves terrible parents. We'll be at a ball field. My daughters are playing softball, and I coach a lot of it, so I'm doing something on the field. And my wife will run up and go, I can't find Gabby. And I'm like, but I'm on the ball field. What do you want me to do? So we send out a search party. People running around looking for Gabby. Gabby, Gabby. We're all calling out to Gabby. And all of a sudden, she'll hear her mama's voice. She'll go, Gabby. She'll go, hi, Mom. She's sitting in a tree waving to us. Hi, Mom. Get down here right now. Why did you run away from us without telling us where you were going? We're terrible parents with our fourth child. The point, though, with that is that Gabby knows, even when she's out running around, she knows her mom's voice. She knows her dad's voice. Especially when dad's yelling mad. She knows. She hears that voice. As sheep, they know the shepherd. They know who their shepherd is. They know how to stay grouped together and follow the shepherd. And I think that's huge as a Christian. All right? Sheep will even follow their shepherd to death. Oftentimes, that's one of the biggest things sheep are used for in the Bible, is sacrifice, right? We too, as Christians, are called to sacrifice. In Romans 12:1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will.
Who is your shepherd? The reality is we are sheep, and we should want to be sheep. We should want to be sheep following God, listening constantly for His voice, trying to stay together with the other sheep, with the other brothers and sisters, sticking together in the herd, all focusing and intently listening for God. Oftentimes life will come along and it'll pull you. It'll tell you that there's other shepherds out there and that you should follow them. Whether it's your job that takes that priority, whether it's your family that takes that priority, no matter what you think that shepherd is, the true shepherd is God. The true shepherd is Christ. He knows each and every one of us. See, that's the other part about being a sheep. He knows each and every one of us. He knows us in a way that only God can know you. He created you. He cares for you and He loves you. He knows that you need to stick together with other sheep, and He knows us as sheep will sacrifice for Him. Those sheep will follow on just right to the process. It'll die. The right to sacrifice. They'll just walk in and be sacrificed. We too as Christians are called to sacrifice for God. We're called to put aside those worldly things. We're called to put aside our selfishness. We're called to put aside what we want and focus on God. Just like a sheep. Sheep have no discrimination. Sheep can be mixed together with many other sheep and not get confused when the shepherd calls. I think this is a really interesting fact. And what that means is you could take, let's say you have 100 sheep over here, and you know over here there's 50 other sheep. You can take those 50 other sheep, put them in with this 100 sheep, they'll conform right in. They won't be outcasts. They'll all listen to that shepherd. See, oftentimes, and I think this is a great thing, especially in today's culture, especially with everything that's going on, if you watch the news, you have all this discrimination, right? All this discrimination out there. You know, these white supremacy groups, you got, you know, people who are complaining to segregate black people and give them this, and all this stuff that they're talking about right now on the news. Yet, if we are focused on God, and that is our top priority, all of that goes away. God doesn't care what color your skin is. God doesn't care where you come from. God doesn't care what your past was. God doesn't care about any of that. And the sheep don't care about what other flock they came from. When they're in the flock, they are a part of the flock that they're with. And they're all listening to one shepherd. So we can be just as, take away all that discrimination. We can really help heal some of the stuff that's happening in our culture if our focus is God. People are so focused on these issues and not focused on God. We have the ability as the church, we have the ability as Christians to shift that focus upwards instead of inwards or outwards to other people, but upwards and focus to God, because God does not discriminate. Here's an interesting thing, and I think this is kind of funny, but it's also really cool. Sheep are all saying the same thing. They're considered one of the noisier animals, right? They're always making the baa sound. They never shut up. They're considered one of the more noisy animals out there, okay? And it is said that as noisy as they are, they're all saying the same thing though, right? They're all making the same noise. They're often noisy, but they draw attention to themselves, but they're all saying the same thing. And should we not also be sheep who are saying the same thing? Brother Brad talked about earlier in class today about contending for the faith. That we as Christians have a right and an obligation, and we owe it to not only ourselves, but to God to defend our faith. Be ready to give an answer, he said in class today. Right? And that is our job. But more so, through studying the Word, through studying God's Word, everything you need to defend your faith is right here. Everything you need is right here. It's through study. It's through prayer. Be ready to give an answer when you're called upon. Talk with your brothers and sisters. Now here's the other side of this. Challenge yourself in your faith so that you are saying the same thing. Study with your other brothers and sisters. Ask the hard questions. Brother Brad brought up a point about eating in the building today, and I thought it was a phenomenal topic that he brought up. It's not something people want to talk about because it can cause division. But Brother Brad said that we have to speak in truth with love. And we do. But you should challenge your faith. You should. You should ask yourself the hard questions. And then you should research those answers. So that when you are part of the flock, you are saying the same thing. That there is no division among you. You are one flock, speaking one truth for our one God. That right there is why I want to be a sheep. I want to be washed by the blood of Christ. I want to be purified by the blood of Christ. I want to be led by God. I want to be willing to sacrifice. And I want to be saying the same thing. As long as we are Christ-centered, we can mix together and still have peace. No matter if our opinions may differ, that's where that idea of growth comes in. Every one of you sitting out here today is at a different place in your walk with Christ. Every single one of you. Some of you may not even know Christ. Some of you may be as close as you think you can get right now to God. Some of you may be struggling with your faith. Everyone here is at a different place in their walk with Christ. But if your focus is in fact Christ, you will give the grace you need to allow others to grow. You will have peace with your brothers and sisters. You will seek God's word over your own opinions. You will allow yourself to be a sheep. Allow yourself to be led by God. Back it up real quick. One of the last things I want to say here, I know I'm rather short today, but that's okay. One of the last things I want to say here is in Matthew 10:16, Jesus says to the disciples, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." Again, Jesus makes the reference to his disciples that they are in fact sheep, and that you are in fact sheep, and that you will be hit by every side. But where does your strength lie? If you're a sheep among wolves, if you're a singular sheep among wolves, you're toast. Right? You're dead. The wolves are going to tear you apart. But you're a sheep in a flock, you're a whole lot stronger. You now stand a chance for survival. So my encouragement for you this morning is this. Be a sheep. Want to be a sheep. That's now the animal that we all as Christians should want to be. I want to be led by God. That's who my shepherd is. I want to be with my brothers and sisters. I want to be part of a strong flock. I want to be there. I want to be willing to sacrifice for God, the same way the sheep are willing to sacrifice. I want to be Christ-centered, and I want to not discriminate. I want to love. I want to be what God wants me to be more than I want to be what I want to be. As a kid, I might have been a tiger growing up, but now I'm a sheep. And that's my encouragement for you. So if you're out there today and you want to be a sheep and you want to follow along as Christ asks you to do, we ask you that at this time, as we get ready to sing, if you would come forward, we can pray for you. If you want to be baptized into Christ, we would allow you to do that. We would help you with that. We have elders that would help with that. And we want to let you know that we're here for you. And we're very happy that you're here today to be a part of our flock. And at that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Bob. As we sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinners, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinners, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinners, come home.
Please be seated.